boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us, phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the truncheon thing. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river, to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling, to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling. See, we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going thick. A nuclear error, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning.
John, how are you?
I forget what a cute song that is.
Yeah, Destination Unknown.
Hanging in there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just doing a lot of things at once here, so we shut down the music very abruptly, like we do, and get out of this app, take off the Bluetooth setting into the bus mixer, and that's good. Okay, how are you, man?
Good.
Do we have any update on the New York?
Do you mean the only update would be how much is Mondami going to win by?
Yeah, well, do we know?
No.
It's kind of late, isn't it?
It's coming out at 6 o'clock, and if it be, or my time. It should be coming right now. It should be. Well, let me take a look.
Virginia elects its first female governor. We got that. No, there's nothing. There's like nothing. They're not even saying. Usually, like, oh, we think that this person's winning or that, but they're just not even talking.
Nah, it's that's lame.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave that open so we can see it in the background. Although I really don't want to do that. You know what? When it happens, it's going to come all over the phones and everything, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. All right. All right, here we go. Let's see. Coming in right after the DH Unplugged IBKR ad, so I got to do this correctly. Okay, let me click this. Ready? Here we go. I'm going to push this here. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's already the 4th of November.
Oh, so exciting. But which means less than 2 months to complete the year, and hopefully the year has been on an unbelievable tear from the market standpoint, right? I mean, every single area, whether it's gold or whether it's even bonds are up. You know, you look at
it doesn't make sense that everything is
everything's
up.
It's all everybody in. You know, this reminds me of kind of, I guess, right past COVID. Whenever there's a lot of stimulus, money weight makes its way. You know, there's an old saying that some old somebody I studied under or something I remember, it's always about money will always find its way into risk assets. So you look at, you know, money that comes from stimulus that may be going into, let's say, even education. You know, let's say there's a big stimulus bill that focuses in on education. Somehow that money finds its way into stocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that
high flyers.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what's happened is that there was all this talk about this one big, beautiful bill that it was, you know, nobody looked at it. I don't think anybody really looked at it initially from the outside as a stimulative measure, but it really was. There was a lot of stimulus, whether it was holding down the taxes and not increasing them or actual stimulus that went into various projects. And again, that finds its way into the stock market. So I think that's a big reason of what happened. That's my 2 cents for the evening.
Well, I'll tell you something. So I'm looking for some insider stuff to see who's doing what mm-hmm. and what.
Yeah.
And when you look at the full list of all the insider traders and all of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
there's like out of, I'd say, 1,000 trades, there's one, maybe two buys.
Really?
It's I've never seen anything like it.
That makes sense, though. I mean,
everyone's taking their money off the, you know, they're cashing in, but it's like astonishing.
Yeah. Well, something we should take note of, definitely. We're also going to need a new close to the pin. You can correct me, but I'll look into this also if we decide to do it. But I'm going to throw away this piece of paper that had those notes on it. For the next CTP, I was thinking, would it be fun for the last one of the regular year to do one with crypto, like the IBIT ETF that tracks Bitcoin, especially with it just hitting 98,000 and change a few minutes ago and then popping right back up?
Well, it definitely would be. I don't like the idea necessarily, but I'd have to say it would be an interesting challenge for our participants.
I think so. So is that a yes?
We haven't done ETFs at all. Have we ever done them?
No,
before?
We never did them because there's no volatility. There's no movement, but this will. And that's the only way we could really do it fairly to track it going. I don't think that our trackers, I can look at that, but I don't think our trackers could directly track Bitcoin. But this will be close enough.
Okay, let's see what happens.
All right, so we'll put that up maybe tomorrow, the next day. That will be the last one for the year. And that person who wins that will be in the running for the Close to the Pin Cup, the end of the year challenge, which is just, you know, a bountiful of information. This year, we talked about this before, we're including last year's Close the Pin Cup winner, right?
Right. It's like an invitational.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Supreme Court ruling on tariffs is going to be coming within weeks. I think next Wednesday they're going to be talking about it. Already Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, is out in front of this saying, you know, if the Supreme Court rules us, you know, rules it down, we'll just find another way to do it. So, it was interesting because it wasn't like he was so sure that there would be a win. Because if you're so sure there's going to be a win, you don't necessarily tell everybody you're going to just find another way around the issue.
Well, he also said he's going to be there.
He's going to be sitting there?
In the front row.
Stare down.
Yeah.
Mm. We have to say a very sad farewell to a variety of people. I think Dick Van Dyke died today, did he?
Oh, he did.
I think.
I didn't know that. I know that Cheney died.
Cheney died. But also saying goodbye to the copper penny. That's
yeah.
Done.
Well, the copper penny's been done for a while. It's not even copper anymore. I think when they stopped making the copper ones in 60 or in 70 or 80, I forget what year.
Yeah, but the copper color replica penny.
The copper cutter one, the penny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's going to now be what? Nickels?
Well, that's the problem. And we'll talk about that. I got some notes on this and my thoughts on this. And there's a big, as
a round up or round down or something.
Well, that's the big issue.
Is the penny going to be in a checking account? Can you have, you know, $13.22? Can you put in the check? Because no penny anymore doesn't mean it doesn't exist in the financial world.
In the financial world, I think that's fine when it comes to credit cards, things of that nature. But the concern, the big uproar is, oh my God, the retailers are going to lose so much money on this. They're going to have to ask for exact change, you know, and if you don't, what do you do? I think you just round up, round down, and the whole thing clears itself fine. I mean, yeah, a penny is, if you round, what's 5% of a dollar? 5% of every dollar is a nickel, right?
Yeah.
So if you have four, in other words, differential between a penny and five pennies, that's 4%. That could be a big issue. I get that. However, you could also round the other way. You don't have the exact change, it goes to the retailer. And people may be like, whoa, my God, that's no fair. There are so many things that retailers and restaurants and all that do to add little bits to their bills anyway that you probably don't know about. Don't worry about it.
How about this also? The penny, people are going to still have pennies. They're not like going to all disappear from the face of the earth.
Right, but there's a concern they're going to come out of circulation.
Yeah, well, they'll be out of, in other words, they won't be putting any new pennies into circulation, yeah.
But as the banks get them somehow, they'll be confiscated.
Is that what they're going to do? But that's for a fact?
No, but I think that would be the normal plan. You get rid of it's almost like playing cards. You ever play poker? You play no limit hold'em. After a while, they start scraping up the fives, the tens, the 25s, you're left with hundreds only.
Interesting, maybe. I do know that the penny for collectors would probably become worth two pennies.
Still not usable.
And so I think that overnight the penny's going to be worth twice as much money. And I think that the old original copper pennies are already worth 3 or 4 or 5 cents.
Which is, you have to have a lot of those, but yeah, I'll give you that.
The problem is you got to find them.
Right.
I mean, you can find the old, real
and then
ones,
you got to store them and you got to deal with them. And, you know, a lot of pennies together kind of smell. Seriously. They have that weird smell, coins?
Yeah, it's called persulfate.
Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah.
Ugh. November, heading for a potential fall. I looked at a lot of research. I did my own work on this. And for what I saw, and I'm talking to you Tuesday after we saw the stock market fall. And last I saw, there was a red arrows on the overnight here for a lot of reasons. But I think there's a lot of reasons where there's a lack of catalysts. And the optimism is just exhausting itself. Now you say, Andrew, could have said that all this time. I really think that we're post-earnings. Government showdown, shutdown, opening doesn't matter anymore. Tariff kind of stuff is done. The quote-unquote deals that we have, or these whatever the hell they are kind of done. Nobody cares anymore. There's no stimulus, nothing coming on the boards for that. And economics are softening. So I just don't, there really is literally, yeah, we can say, oh, you climb, everybody's going to worry, everybody climb the wall of worry, they're looking past this and all. There's nothing to look past this with right now, unless we have more of the same, which it looks to me that the last couple of things that OpenAI did with another X amount of dollars with Amazon, I think 30 or 80 billion or some ridiculous number, I think they're jumping the shark at this point. So something to watch November. We're going to set up tonight, gang, a little prediction contest between myself and John, an under over, if you will, of when the government is going to reopen.
Oh, that's a good one.
And we're going to talk about a new term, AI washing. So market-wise, OpenAI, even more deals, as I mentioned. They just keep coming out. More and more money they're spending. Palantir came out with earnings. Sarepta came out and absolutely just crashed today. Earnings weren't good, but their Duchenne's muscular dystrophy drug that they had a secondary trial for failed. Amazon, Andy Jassy, what a fabulous job this guy's doing. Taking the reins from Jeff Bezos, no easy task. But he's putting it together pretty well. Blowout numbers across the board. AWS in particular. They got some great deals also that was great. Now, the other thing we'll notice, and I've been thinking about this, and I was going to mention it last week, and I didn't, and I would have been great if I did, because you'd be like, oh, God, that guy's smart. Splits. Where were splits? Where have splits been? I think they're going to start
making a good question.
Yeah, I think they're going to start making a comeback.
Well, they should by now.
Oh, Netflix did it. We'll talk about that. So, and as the show progresses this evening, we will bring you as soon as we can the results from any major elections. Already Virginia's in, and we saw that. And we have Prop 50 out by you. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it'll probably pass, but it could run into some legal challenges.
Well, if it passes, how does it run into legal challenges?
A lot of stuff passes that turns out if it's unconstitutional, it violates the state constitution. No matter how, you could have the whole public say 100% vote yes, and it won't pass. It'll get face a legal challenge and get thrown out. It's happened to a number of resolutions, propositions. I'm sorry. It's propositions.
Why do they even put it on the ballot at that point if they know it's going to go afoul?
Because they don't. You can't predict. You can't. I mean. You can't just drag an idea in front of the Supreme Court of California and tell them to rule on it when it's not something in play. You know, they'd be wasting all their time on everything.
That makes sense. So you think that that's going to be a problem, though? Potential problem.
Well, I've heard this in the past by experts when this thing first came up, that the Republicans had tried to do this in 93, I believe, or something like that, and they did the same, pretty much the same kind of proposition. And we have resolutions and propositions in this state. And they, it was kicked out, it passed, and it got thrown out by the courts.
All right. One of the things that's been happening lately, we're getting to the end of the year, you're going to start hearing things over and over and over. The analysts out there are... I'm constantly befuddled. Well, I'm old enough to recognize why. But these guys, all they do is repeat the same crap over and over and over again. Like, I heard somebody talking about technical analysis tonight. And like, you know, we saw that they didn't make a higher high, and that was a rejection of the last form of this and that. And then it's showing weak. I'm like, oh my God, that's so textbook. Just so textbook. The market's charts are not textbook. They do what they want to a degree. Now, there are a lot of times they rhyme, and there are a lot of patterns that are very interesting, like the head and shoulders, or, you know, a triple top or a cup and handle. There are definitely these things out there.
Yeah, classics.
But a lot of them are only good because everybody thinks they're good, so therefore everybody follows them.
Yes, the foregone conclusion.
Yeah. So now we have the same stories, same thing over and over again. Here we are in November. You're going to start hearing these. I want everybody to keep their ears open for this, their antennas up. Things like, well, it's seasonally a good time for equities. There's some truth there. And I'll say that every once in a while. That's a factual matter. But they use it as another reason to stay bullish at all costs. The market was due for a correction.
And, yeah, it's always due.
And by the way,
whenever it happens, it was due.
It was due. And then they panic, by the way, right? Oh, we're okay with a correction. Oh, my God, there's a correction. Oh, what are we going to do? And then they say it's healthy. And it was orderly.
Sell. You could put a little booklet together so far.
Right. Yeah. And then they'll come with, you don't have to understand something. If the market does come down right now at this moment towards the end of this year, don't fight the Fed. The Fed is definitely, in a dovish stance. Don't fight the Fed. Now, meanwhile, by the way, when the Fed is actually raising rates, you could fight them, though, because that means that things are good in the economy. So the don't fight the Fed is just thrown out. Just throw that out when it doesn't fit the narrative, right? Then there's a discussion about earnings. Look at the earnings trend. You have 83% of companies in the S&P 500 that reported, which is the majority of them right now, have had positive and beat guidance. So you got that whole narrative happening. And of course, well, what about the buybacks? Companies are buying back. They're starting to buy back. Now, you're seeing selling going on in the insiders, but that narrative is, trust the buying, not the selling.
Yeah, that's the old rule. But I have to say that my luck on trusting the selling, if you look for the right kind of, if you look for the right kind of triggers, in other words, if you look at it, does the guy that's doing the selling, is he a trader? Does he have a track record? What's it look like in the past? Is he always selling high and buying low? Is that happening all the time? And now is he selling? And if he's trading a lot, he's not necessarily taking money off the table. This is what he does. There's a lot, or then all of a sudden a whole family sells out and by too much. Or the one I had the last show, which is already up 11% on one week, which was the idea with this guy's constantly selling to get selling. Then all of a sudden he sells 100 times more than normal.
He was selling little bitties, and then when it went, kapow, all right, I'm done. Let's go get this over with.
When you see, so there are triggers and mechanisms, I believe that you, in fact, today I've got my stock pick will be another one of these.
Oh, little tease right there. I like it. All right, let's talk about and probably there's a lot more than I'm missing, by the way, in this list of things towards the end of the year. Let's not forget about the Santa Claus rally that is, seasonally good. And, let's talk about, I will tell you this. We've talked about this last week too, I think, but the CAPE ratio at 40.5 and the forward PE. Tonight there was a piece that I read just the first few paragraphs because I didn't have time to finish it yet. It was from, who was it from? Major firm. Anyway, they track all this stuff. And I think they said that the S&P forward PE ratio at 23.5 or 23.6, whatever that exact number was, is the highest it's been in like 20 years or something. That's pretty hot. So, and now you got the major players, right? You have the head of Goldman Sachs, David Solomon. You have the head of Morgan Stanley, both out within this week saying, you know what? Looks like that markets are going to be struggling from here on, and corrective action looks like it's really a high probability.
Oh, well, that's good news.
So the point is, do you think that they're, but are they creating the information, or are they causing the reaction?
Yeah, you never know. But all I know is when those guys are kind of being cautious, that's a good time to buy.
Yeah,
seems to me. I don't like the other thing though. That's a good time to sell. So I don't know.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about. We kind of went over this whole November outlook, which I talked about. I guess this whole earnings season. Okay. Under, over, when will the U.S. government open again? I'm picking a date and you have to pick the under or under over. Okay.
Now, you're gonna pick the date, and I get to pick the under or over.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the other side. I guess I know what I'm picking. So here's the date: November 10th.
Why November 10th?
I'm just pick the date. Pick the date.
Under.
Oh, that's what I was gonna do too. So that means that the government will reopen by next Sunday.
Well, I think it's gonna reopen this week.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So we're both taking the under. Well, I guess I'm taking the over. Well,
no,
I guess
you didn't take the under too. You just said you did. Now you've hedged your bet. You created this game, and we both win if it's under, and we're both lose.
I'm so taking under
together.
Now, my rationale for this is: election is over. No reason to keep on pumping whatever was being pumped by whatever side.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
Yeah,
that's why I picked the under.
And it seems to me that that they need to do something before things. It's the 21st. Is when the money really runs out.
Yeah, no, they're going to have to actually. I would say, you know, you could probably renege on this bet completely because it's possible that they're not going to over or under on November 10th, but decide on a completely new continuing resolution,
right.
which is what I put my money on.
But it's still government opens. By the way, what is the 10th? Is that the under or the over? What if? It under is
well, then the House wins.
Let me think about that.
The House wins.
Well,
we both lose.
It would be Sunday night at midnight. Sunday night at midnight is the cutoff for the under.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? We're good with that?
Yeah.
I'm going to write this down. Sunday.
I think you're getting a little too carried away now.
Midnight. And by the way, when I say midnight, I mean midnight my time.
Yeah. Oh, do you see what I mean?
And it has to be within.
You started sports gambling.
Yeah,
all
it's
of a sudden.
Yeah, and it's the second beforehand. Yeah, okay.
You're just working.
AI washing. That's an issue. That's a name. That's a thing. That's something that's come up. The definition of AI washing is a deceptive marketing tactic where companies exaggerate or falsely claim to use artificial intelligence in their products to appear more innovative and advanced. It's also used when layoffs occur to say that there's less need for employees due to advances in technology.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, that's probably true. Yep, I believe.
Yeah, like, hey, you know, man, we got all this technology going on right here.
Because there's been no proof whatsoever that AI has really done anything at all in terms of productivity.
So corporate giants like Amazon, UPS, Target, IBM, announcing big layoffs in recent weeks, totaling more than 60,000 job cuts this year so far. Now, that's not a tremendous amount. That's not big. I mean, you start talking to me about 250, 300, you know, in a matter of, 25,000 a month. That gets my interest. But these numbers here, I don't think so.
What does IBM even do nowadays?
IBM? Well, the Red Hat. Really, Red Hat's the play. And they have services and all that, but AI washing, watch. Well, if you're from Washington, it's AI washing, but AI washing.
You know, nobody in Washington says washing.
They all say Washington.
Nobody does. I have a place up there. I live in Washington. No one says Washington.
Are you a fan of the Washington football fan? What's your team? Did you see the game Sunday night? Where the guy dislocated his elbow, like twisted it totally around?
That was the Washington Redskins. That's not the same as the Washington teams, which is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, I like the uniforms. They have the best colors in the business. Used to be the Dolphins, not so much anymore.
Yeah, that guy ruined his elbow.
Yeah, and it was such a, I don't want to get
into
it.
Did you see the World Series?
The World Series is fabulous.
That was the best World Series
Fabulous.
I've ever seen.
Fabulous.
Each and every game. I mean, even like in games, I mean, everything that was imaginable to happen happened.
Yep.
And it, right up to the ball in that one thing, it would have probably won the game for the Toronto, where the ball goes and hits and sticks itself into the wall. Remember that play? The sixth game, the ball comes. It's a big fly ball over their heads, and it goes and sticks into the wall at the bottom. It wedges itself in there, which makes an automatic double, which sends them a run.
And then where the two guys slammed into each other in the outfield?
Yeah, that was a great play.
That was a great play, right? Yeah, and the guy was like, he left, and he's like, oh, maybe I should check out if this guy's down for the count.
No, he looks back, wait a minute, this guy might be dead. No, the whole thing was one astonishing thing. It was, and I've seen
There's a reason for that. Because they need to fight back against what's coming.
AI.
No, the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, those guys are just going to introduce people to real baseball.
Those guys are great. Right?
But I will say this was the best World Series I've, and it was so evenly. People don't want to say this part of it, but it was the teams were so evenly matched. That's why it went the seventh game. It had to go into extra innings in the last game. Yep. I mean, either team could have won.
It was great. No, it was definitely great. It was definitely great, and I agree. Could have gone either way, one inning more. So good stuff. Congratulations. Amazon, great earnings. Stock up huge in the after hours after the report. Beats by 38 cents. Beats on revenues. Guides fourth quarter revenues in line. Its GAAP earnings of $1.95, which is 38 cents better than FactSet's consensus. The $180 billion it did. Revenues rose 13% year over year. The operating income, excluding items, they are... what was it, 21.7 versus prior 15. North America sales increased 11%. International segment, 14%. AWS segment sales rose 20% year over year. Advertising services up 24% year over year. $17 billion just in advertising.
That's astonishing.
The company issues inline guidance for the Q4. Sees quarter four revenues of 262.13 versus 208. So it was kind of in line. But stock was up like, I don't know, a lot. All-time highs. It's up again. I don't know if it was up today. It was up yesterday. It was great. It was just great stuff. Great stuff. Then, right on the heels of that, OpenAI announces that they signed a $38 billion deal with Amazon Web Services, AWS, and will immediately start accessing NVIDIA's graphic processing units. This is one of the OpenAI's biggest moves away from Microsoft, which was the company's exclusive cloud provider until earlier this year. And don't forget, they concluded that deal where they had the restructuring where OpenAI now has a different business structure, but also cemented that Microsoft has a 27% position in the company. And part of that deal must have been, hey, you know what? We got to branch out here a little bit. And we're allowed to do so. So this partnership gives OpenAI the flexibility with Amazon to scale infrastructure through 2026 and beyond. OpenAI will immediately begin running workloads on AWS infrastructure, tapping hundreds of thousands of NVIDIA's graphics processing chips in the U.S. Unbelievable. That was up another 5% on that news. Then Palantir comes out with earnings, 21 cents versus 17. Now understand something, Palantir. Great company, Alex Karp, brilliant guy. You know, they have the AI, they have the whole thing running with the government contracts, and they branched down into the commercial contracts. In fact, the commercial contracts were up really nicely, which is important because they were really stuck in the government zone for a long time, which was a little concern. Like, how much do they grow with just governments? You know, they need to have some other things. So commercials really picking up pretty strongly. Okay, great. Company saw revenues of $1.327 billion versus $1.18. We're talking about $20 billion more in revenue. So stock was up slightly after, before the earnings came out, the stock was up 3.5%. I'm like, oh, I hate when that happens, when they start running the stock up after it's run up already into the earnings, because now we have a chance for disappointment. And that's exactly what happened. I think there was an issue about margins, an issue about, you know, what is really in the tank.
The PE ratio is out of control.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
200 or something.
Yeah, it's very high. So the company could grow into that, but I think much of the...
It's not going to grow 200% a year.
No, not a year. But I think that investors got ahead of themselves, rightfully so on some of these numbers, but so far ahead, there was just like nothing left. You know what I mean? Stock was down about 8%, I think, or 9% at the close today. So most of the good news was priced in. Now, I had some people writing me going, what the hell?
In half if they went down to a 100 PE, which is super high. This stock's overpriced the way I see it.
No, I agree. 100%. I like the stock. I made a lot of money, but I 100% agree. Now, AMD came out with earnings tonight. Similar situation. Stock has run up like crazy due to all these different deals and the partnerships, etc. The company, Mickey Sherrill wins New Jersey governor's race, by the way. Another Democrat.
Yeah, she was expected to.
Well, Mikey, Mickey, Mikey.
Mikey. Yeah, she's terrible.
Yep. Company reported earnings of $1.20 a share, 3 cents better than the consensus. Revenues rose about 36% year over year to $9.25 billion versus $8.7. So about $500 million better overall. On a non-GAAP, gross margin was 54%. That was good. Company issued upside guidance, this AMD, for revenue about $9.3 to $9.9 billion, which is higher than the $9.21 billion that they had. So the non-GAAP gross margin is expected to be approximately 54.5. That was part of the issue with AMD also. It's down about 3 or 4% after the close. Netflix announced a 10-for-1 split. Woo!
Yeah.
Commentators are all flooded about this. So it's so good. So good for the small investor.
Yeah, they love it.
And let me just say this. If you're listening, anybody that said that,
you are stupid.
Let me tell you why. Forget the idea that it does nothing for the company's financials. Forget that. I don't care about that. But here's the deal. They're saying that if we go from 1,100, let's round number this to $1,000 a share, okay? To 100. It's a lot better for the average investor because now the average investor can buy it. Now, you know, if the average investor had $100 now, they could buy one share. If they had $100 before, they couldn't buy any Netflix, right? Wrong. Partial share ownership is available with most brokerages these days very easily. We do it all the time. You have these high-priced stocks? We buy into them?
I guess if Berkshire Hathaway, you could buy
You could buy partial shares. Yeah. So this whole idea, these commentators, it's like, did you guys like read this in an original book back from wherever and never update yourselves? Which is this goes right into the line of discussion. The same thing that we talked about when we started the show with all those sayings and all those things and all those theories about into the end of the year. So shame on you.
Yeah, it's actually worth a column to talk about these what would you call it, myths?
Myths and almost...
myths and commonplace.
But it's those forced bullishness. Maybe it's bullshittedness.
Yeah, well, you see everything that way. Because you watch a lot of CNBC.
Yeah, it's forced. Let's take a break now. I want to talk about Interactive Brokers. How about that? Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's a question. As an investor, what if your next big opportunity was hiding in plain sight? IBKR Desktop helps you find it. With powerful discovery tools like Multisort, you can scan thousands of instruments using custom filters by sector, performance, volatility, and more. Dig deeper with advanced charting, real-time data, and integrated news. Then act fast with one-click order placements, quick trade buttons, and access to 160 markets plus. Whether you're spotting trends, adjusting your strategy, or responding to market shifts, IBKR Desktop gives you everything you need to move from idea to execution, all in one modern platform. Because the best informed investors choose Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers is a member of SIPC. Download IBKR Desktop at ibkr.com/desktop. And by the way, John, I use that product every single day.
You're using it now from what I can tell.
It's fantastic. Seriously. Off script for a second. Fantastic. It is fast, good trades, good information, charting, news. It's just like a flurry of information, fundamental analysis. You can get all sorts of insights. It's really pretty amazing. So just a point. All right, moving along. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court potentially ruling on tariffs next week? Lower courts, of course, have ruled that Trump tariffs are not lawful. And by the way, let me say one thing and I'm going to let you espouse on this. The idea that we're using this for emergency purposes for national security, that's the thesis, right?
Part of it.
this latest tirade against Canada, I think, puts a real problem in their argument. If, in fact, we're using this for national security, was the Reagan ad a national security issue? And if it was, they stopped it, and then he applied a punitive tariff to them anyway because of it. Right? The 10% across the board?
Yeah, but that's not part of the case.
I know, but it could be used as evidence of how he is utilizing this.
It could be used in the arguments, maybe. It's kind of a chicken shit thing to do if they do that. They don't tend to do that kind of thing. They don't go way beyond generally the court doesn't get carried away with hypotheticals outside of the exact, you know, what they're looking at right before them.
So what do you think? How do you think this is going to go? I mean, both lower courts.
You know, the administration's confident that it will go their way. I think they're going to have a lot of arguments about it, and it's going to probably drag on a little bit. And then I think it's going to go their way. I think it's going to be fine.
Are you concerned at all about the – I know that – let's say you're a big Trump fan or a Republican that just loves everything the Republicans do, or a Democrat that hates everything that the Republicans do but loves everything the Democrats do. Doesn't matter what side you're on. Is there any
I'm actually a unaffiliated officially.
Okay, I got you. Are you concerned that if, in fact, this is ruled in favor of broad, because it would be basically broad powers for the president, that this will be taken in the future and abused?
How's it going to be abused?
Well, you
don't think Trump saying 100% tariffs not abusing it?
He is abusing it, but I'm saying not only for tariffs, but other areas, is it going to be open the door for further broad powers of the president? Because it seems to be the president's doing whatever they want these days.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's possible, but you know, you can have another case. I mean, these things can turn around on a dime. I'm not worried about it.
All right. I'm just concerned that they. I hope they think beyond just what is happening right now. That doesn't mean strike it down. That's not saying that. Although you know I don't like tariffs, but nonetheless. And speaking about tariffs, how about that China deal? Quote unquote deal.
Yeah. Tell me what it is.
It's not. In my opinion, China won the match by a mile. They're buying soybeans. They said they're going to stop.
That was the idea.
Okay, but wait a minute. You know, there's going to be a great deal. We're going to do a great thing. We got all the. Don't tell me that we put 145% tariffs on China for soybeans. I don't think that was the only thing. They said they're going to try to stop fentanyl, you know, coming into the United States. And they're going to be less restrictive on rare earth exports to China. So what do we have? Maybe a benefit to the farmers. That's great. Nothing gained otherwise. Before, the only thing we have before the tariffs that were put on is soybean buying. Because we had rare earths before, right? So I don't.
Yeah, the rare earth stoppage was short-lived.
All right.
The soybeans, they had to get that back on track, which they did. And the rest of it, then there is a tariff that's coming. It's higher than it used to be on Chinese products. And that's the end of it. And they collected money.
Mondami wins.
Of course he does.
That is really, you know, he's 34. He's only 34 years old.
Yeah. And he doesn't know anything. He's never managed a paper route.
He was born in Uganda.
Yeah.
Moved to Cape Town.
Rich kid in Uganda.
Yep. Yeah. Moved to Cape Town. Went to private schools. Went to Bronx Science in New York. He became a naturalized U.S. citizen in only 2018, by the way. I don't know.
If the people should go check out my Dvorak.substack.com column on this guy and what it really means to the Democrats.
You want to tell me?
It's going to be. I'll tell you. Yeah, you should have read the column.
I don't think I read it. I'm going to read it. You know, don't tell me. I'm going to go read it. I'm writing it down right now. JCD's. I can't. There's so much I could do it every day. Substack. On Dems. I got it. I'm going.
What's on? It's a Mondami column. It's the last one on there.
All right. I think this was exactly the same deal as a Trump 1.0 deal, and I think China did a really good job of figuring out how to figure it out. You know, they did a great checkmate with the rare earths right before.
Yeah, no, it was a good move. Yeah. They're not dummies.
Yeah, right. Singularity. Is that a word that you've ever talked about?
What?
The singularity.
Oh, singularity. We haven't discussed it on the No Agenda show, which is every, what is the show?
Thursdays. Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern and Sundays. Yep, both.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very popular term used in Silicon Valley by a bunch of crackpots.
I think people that have like robot fetishes.
Well, a lot of robot stuff in there. A lot of transhumanist stuff is involved with that singularity. And it's just science fiction nonsense the way I see it.
The idea of machines and humans somehow coalescing and working together. When I say that, I mean like merging, right? In a almost an AI brain implant that I get on Bionic Man in a way that singularity.
Bionic Man is what it, yeah.
Didn't you watch Steve Austin, $6 Million Man back in the day?
Yeah, it was great.
How about every single time?
Can you imagine doing that for $6 million today today's dollars? Right. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Bionic inflation would be big. But he was a $6 million man, and every single time he used one of his bionic somethings, his eye, his legs, his arm, you would hear that sound effect would be every single time he did something, right?
I can't remember.
Oh my God, it was the best. He would just look at somebody and be, if he's just looking at somebody, it's one thing, but all of a sudden, oh, he's using the bionic eye to see what's going on. Anyway, Microsoft's AI chief, Mustafa Suleiman, says only biological beings are capable of consciousness and that developers and researchers should stop pursuing projects that suggest otherwise. He said, I don't think that work should be, that is the work that people should be doing. If you're asked
I don't see why they shouldn't be doing it, but I mean, I agree with him. Except for the fact that what difference does it make whether you're trying to working on that or not? It's not like you're going to stumble onto something if your thesis is correct.
Well, he says it's totally the wrong question. Don't even go there. Don't even go down that path. But you know that people are going to go down that path.
Yeah, everybody.
I mean, that's the whole idea. I don't know if it's a game of, you know, it's like the quantum computer game getting
another dead end,
right? Or splitting a quark, or you know that whole thing, fusion, all that.
Yeah, when's that happening? Where's our fusion reactors?
We don't have any yet.
Do we?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I don't see one running anything.
I mean, that is the Holy Grail, supposedly, right?
Yeah, because if you can get that to work, and especially if it's cold fusion, which is another pie in the sky, it's a gem, then you can run power the world at no cost.
Until we run out of water.
You can't, no, there's more than, it would last billions of years.
Well, they're working on it. It has been the hope for thing. I'm surprised we don't hear about that anymore. I'm surprised we haven't heard that one of these companies is going to be a quantum computer company running AI chips from NVIDIA working on cold fusion.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they have to roll these things out one at a time.
I guess they can't.
So then it's coming, believe me. What you just said is coming.
Yeah, on the Amazon AWS platform.
Probably.
Right? Yeah. Funded by OpenAI somehow.
Yeah, through circular funding, it goes around and around.
$12 trillion.
Billion money. Holy macro, how did we get so high?
Yeah, they're pledging $12 trillion. And it's going to be somehow the entire process will be run on the blockchain.
There you go.
You know?
You got it all summarized.
I need some help. I want to talk to you about something that's bothering me. Sometimes things bother me, right? You know that.
Oh, yeah. You have a number of picadillos.
This one's big. It's just pissing me off. I'm watching TV, not bothering anybody, right? And I see this commercial for Bombardier. You know, the private jet company, and they make a variety of other products too.
Yeah, they make prop planes too.
But they have the fastest private airplane in the world, the Global 8000. And their tagline is, you know, they have this plane in the sky, and there's the background is a looks like, you know, a sunrise.
Are you in the market for a jet?
No, no. I don't know. They're not targeting me. It's just a commercial that came on TV. But I'm definitely not buying this because they're lying. Because they say in their thing, and they write it out, see a dawn that never ends. See a dawn that never ends. Now, here's my problem.
Oh, that's interesting.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, you're going with your do a calculation on the speed of the Earth's rotation and the jet at whatever altitude that it can keep up with the sun.
The bigger problem is it can't. Because if you're flying east at, let's say, 600 miles an hour, flying east, the sun is rising. That makes the dawn is the sunrise, right? Would you agree with me there? It makes it disappear even faster because you're flying towards it. If you want to say, see a sunset that never ends now.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I see what the argument could be.
What's the argument?
You're flying. The dawn is coming up, and you're flying in the other direction.
Oh, well, you can't see it. You can't see it out of the back of you.
You're looking out the back window.
What back window?
Well, No.
You're looking at the side view mirrors. That's what you're looking at.
Side view mirrors. Yes, you're going fast enough. Somehow there's side view mirrors that are staying on the plane.
Yeah. I think it's crap. I want to see this say Bombardier. If you're listening, and the marketing people, see a sunset that never ends. That's more truthful.
Yeah, yeah.
These are the small things that trouble me.
Yeah, these little things. I don't see how this is bigger than your bare feet at the airport.
No, that's not. But they solved that. Most people don't have to do that anymore. They stopped that. I mean, I've written 50 letters a day for the last 5 years.
I believe that to be true, by the way.
Right. what else do we got here? Let's see. Sarepta had a really nice bounce from 16 to like 30. It was up there and then it came back down a little bit. Plunged 40% today after the late stage Duchesne's trial failure and weak sales overshadowed a slight earnings beat, but that's a problem.
Didn't we have this on the game once?
Yeah, we did. We did. We made some good money on it too, and then it just came off because it's so wildly volatile.
Yeah, it's volatile.
So I bought it for clients. We bought it. We got out of it, which is great. Sales revenue fell 15% year over year, driven by lower Elevidys sales and ongoing restructuring efforts. Remember, they were told to pull it. They said, this doesn't really work. There's too many deaths from it. Pull it. And the patients, everybody said, you know what? We're all going to die anyway from something, probably sooner than later, because of this horrible disease. Can't we just have something that may work? Just pretend? And they put it back on the market. So there you go.
Right. That was the reason for it being on the game.
Yep. Company called Shein. You familiar with them? S-H-E-I-N?
Oh, yeah. I get email from them like 3 emails a day.
Yeah, they're the Chinese. There's Temu. There's Shein.
Yeah, it's the same operation. Same could be the same company for right. all I know. But right. all I know is they sell cheap Chinese stuff.
Right.
Junk.
Well, it seemed that
cheap shirts, cheap pants.
Yep.
Cheap belts, everything.
Yep. Well, it seems that they also sell childlike sex dolls.
Well, that I have not seen in their mailings.
Yeah, right here. It's not right front. Look what we got. Sale. Big sale. End of year sale. After France's consumer watchdog found sex dolls resembling children for sale on Shein's platform. I don't know why the watchdog group was category.
Did they give the link to anybody?
Yeah, they're on the sex doll category because that's where they hang out, it seems. And they're like, wait a minute, what's this? So they found these sex dolls resembling children. The finance minister, Roland Lescure, threatened on Monday to block Shein's access to the French market if it ever sold such dolls again. Now, here's the funny thing. France has had a big problem with Shein for years. Why? Well, because they're trying to sell their Louis Vuitton and this one and all these various, you know, high-end chic.
Shein does have a
Shein
few,
is, like, you know, they have knockoffs, but they also have cheap junk.
Knockoffs.
France is working on
junk knockoffs.
Right. And France is working on fast fashion law that may crimp Shein sales.
Well, the fashion law, if the French think they're going to get away with copywriting certain designs and fashion and the rest, they've got another thing coming. It's not going to happen. The fashion market has traditionally had knockoffs. That's the idea. You come up, that's how trends are set. If you can't make a copy of something, well, you won't be able to litigate anyway. It seems to me the courts will, it's just too many little details to deal with. But the idea in the business, the fashion business, somebody comes out with a design that's pretty cool, you copy it. You
Right.
don't copy it with their label. Their label's protected, but the design's not.
I understand. But I think France is doing what they can. Who knows if they even maybe somehow planted these Chinese sex dolls just to cause a whole hoo-hoo.
Oh, now you're talking. There you go.
Yes, you like that. You always like that side of
like
things.
A tin hat.
Yeah.
Like a
right?
Aluminum foil cap.
Yeah.
Yes. I totally like that. Yeah.
So China is supposed to be opening these outlets. Now, this seems really weird to me. In several of these high-end malls and stores in France, they're going to be opening outlets. What? Why would they even, if they have a problem with all this to begin with, why are they letting them? Who's opening up their stores and outlets? I mean, maybe Shine's paying a lot for this kind of thing, but
we don't see any Shine stores here.
I don't, not yet. Not yet.
Huh.
Can you imagine a Temu pop-up?
Oh, yeah, I can actually.
Yeah, they'll take over like the department stores that have gone out of business. The JCPenney's.
Oh, now might be a good time.
Right. You know what you do? I'll tell you what you do. Those stores that
like
don't
that
need
Halloween
to be.
Store
yeah, like Halloween stores, right. Exactly. That's about to morph in, well, not yet, because it's about to morph into the Christmas store.
Yeah, the Christmas store's coming, yeah.
But after that, you may have, there's not really, not, you got a long runway.
Maybe the whole retail business nowadays is just going to go from one pop-up to another.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
I would, yeah. You might keep people going to these malls, which are all dead.
Yeah. We have a mall down here called the Galleria. There's one in Texas also.
Yeah,
similar.
There's a few Gallerias around the country.
This one's closing. The only thing that's going for this one is the Apple Store. That's it.
Apple stores, Apple stores have done
that's the only thing that's working in this mall. And at this point, I would think the mall probably gave free rent to Apple just so they could drag people in there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
No, all these malls are just, it's amazing how fast they went, all went kaput.
And who is it that has the great idea that I know. I am going to buy these crappy little children's toys and I'm going to buy a kiosk in the center of the mall walkways. There I'm going to make a lot of money. Now, I do understand one thing. I asked this question many years ago and somebody said, well, that's used as a training. It's a starter for some stores. They put their stuff there, see how it sells, and then they can graduate to a whole store.
Test marketing.
But still, these are the ones that they got the junk they sell in the iPhone cases. Like, that's ever going to be a big store? This is...
Yeah, not to mention, I have seen a couple of these things like that, and they do have weird products. That they're selling and
wigs.
It's like
they got the woman teasing the hair of the other,
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to it, but now that you mention it, I'll start to. Well, I don't go to. Last time I went to a mall was years ago. I haven't been to one.
I went recently for something. I forgot. I had to pick up something. Oh, my wife schlepped me. I got to make a return at Macy's.
The Macy's here is like it's terrible, and they're closing the one in San Francisco.
Everything's like 65% off. You should go into one. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Okay, not
I'm not even kidding.
It. I'm gonna say I'm looking for a good sale.
I'm telling you, I went again because I walked through there. I went there one time. I didn't know it was a sale, and they're like, "Oh, everything's 65% off." I'm like, "What?" So I'm looking around. I'm like, "Well, that jacket fits. I'll take that. I'll take." It was like a $500 jacket. It was like 65% off. I'm like,